What's up, everybody? Welcome to the next special edition episode for 103 in our little mini series here, of course, of the Rocket Punch Cast. Can't forget that. I'm one of your hosts here, Cameron. I'm joined, of course, by Will. Will, what's going on, man?
Death, destruction, mayhem, and a bit of ale.
Okay, you sound like you got a busy day.
Yeah, you know.
Well, you got a lot of stuff you got to fit in there as well.
Well, I mean, you know, we've been playing the heck out of some games that involve fighting demons, and then, you know, beer follows.
That's true. Well, I'm glad you could pull away from that game, your busy schedule, to come down here and talk about more about E3. Continue our E3 conversations.
Continuing the video games.
So, guys, this is the third part in our kind of E3 2018 post-conference thoughts, analysis, whatever you want to call it. Where we're actually going through and analyzing each conference, all the games we talked about and saw, and kind of what we thought about those as well. Episode 3, Part 3, is going to be in Bethesda, because that's how we said we promised we'd go in order.
Bethesda?
So, exactly. And we got stuff to talk about with Bethesda here. So we're going to be jumping into that. But first, of course, guys, quick housekeeping notes. If you want to know all about our content and what we do here at Rocket Punch, make sure you go over to rocketpunchgo.com. It's your one-stop shop for everything we do, Rocket Punch. If you always want to help continue supporting the show and everything that we're doing with the podcast and our streaming and whatnot, you can go to patreon.com/rocketpunch. That way, as little as a dollar a month can help keep the mics rolling here at the studio. And of course, guys, if you are wanting to see our streams and know more about our content, swing over to twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive. We have streams throughout the week. We always stream the Rocket Punch Cast each and every Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. So definitely don't want to miss that. And make sure you click that heart at the top of your screen so you can follow our channel and know when we're going live. But all that being said, we're going to jump right into the shows here, because we found last time like we were on Xbox for like an hour.
Well, I mean, to be fair, they had the most going on.
They did. They did have a lot of stuff going on as well. So, but we didn't want to miss any of that. And that's kind of our big focus, is when we're talking about these conferences, we don't want to miss all the little details, because we do want to give our impressions.
FOMO's real, guys.
Most definitely. So, guys, as well, just to give you a reminder, we are pulling some of the reference materials on what happened in each show directly from Kotaku. Kirk Hamilton at Kotaku wrote some great pieces on everything, basically, that each conference showed. So definitely check him out. We're going to be linking those in the show notes as well, so you can definitely reference those if you want to look at the article. Give it a click. Help him out.
Yeah.
But everything Bethesda showed at E3 2018, I think as we've been doing, we go through the games,
mm-hmm.
and then we give our overall impressions at the end. We have the rating system, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so, first, starting this conference off, we were basically some talking, then we were told, hey, we're going to go talk about Rage 2,
yeah.
and then we had like a 10-minute concert.
From Andrew W.K.?
Yeah.
They could have taken that out and it would have been fine. He is much better pre-recorded.
Really? I don't listen to Andrew W.K. all that much, so.
No, but the song they specifically chose, man, that song is so much better from him when it's recorded and mastered in a studio versus live.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Live was cringy.
Well, it was a little interesting to start off with the show, like no game and... I don't know. It went on for a good chunk, 10, 12 minutes. It wasn't bad. I know there's a relation to it in the game, but I'm sure a lot of people were like, let's get to the game, let's get to the game, let's get to the game.
I mean, to be fair, though, it looked good.
Yeah, let's talk about the game. They gave us a very in-depth look at Rage 2. We are apparently going to be playing the character Walker, who is the last ranger in the Wasteland.
Please tell me he's the last Texas Ranger.
If only we were in Texas, then it would be perfect. The Trinity would be complete.
Look, man, all right, all I'm saying is there's probably a reason why they did it and they didn't. All right?
I'm sure that Bethesda is very tongue-in-cheek with what they do. I'm sure they did that for a reason.
No, I'm betting they didn't because they were afraid of Chuck Norris.
If there's not a Chuck Norris reference in this game, then they've done something wrong.
For real.
So, what did you think about the game overall? And what kind
of
what they showed?
It looks cool. I'm picking it up on PC.
Okay. Get a PC.
Yeah. No, dude. Rage 2 looks dope.
It looked really good.
It was very polished.
It felt like Doom. And, like, Doom and Mad Max, which is funny because Avalanche Studios is the guys from Just Cause and who did Mad Max. They're actually doing this game.
Look, man, all I know is they took the idea behind Mad Max and Just Cause and Doom, and they made them all fusion dance, and this is what we got.
Yeah, and it looks great. I mean, stylistically, all the different little powers and kind of meta abilities you can use as well with your big old guns. And it was cool when you went up to the car and the trailer went, like, if you can see it, you can drive it. So, like, any vehicle you run into, you can definitely hop into and start shooting stuff up.
Hey, man, good. More guns. Up the guns.
But it's just so interesting. This almost begs the question, like, why did it have to be a 2? Why couldn't they have just said, name it Rage and maybe it's a reboot of the first one? Because nobody really cared too much about the first one.
I didn't know there was a first one until Walmart Canada leaked it.
Like, wait, I have the first one. I never played it, but I don't think it was a bad game. It wasn't received very well to a lot of people.
Okay.
But it was interesting nonetheless.
I mean, Rage 2 is checking all the right boxes that Borderlands should have checked years ago.
Yeah, right?
Well, so it's like, oh man, you know what? Please tell me I can squad up with my boys.
We're still waiting for Borderlands 3.
That'll be out in 2035.
Along with Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah.
And Kingdom Hearts 3 when it gets pushed back again.
Yeah, and then Final Fantasy 16 while we're at it.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Nice little pile of games that you can't wait for. But no, that's all kind of how they introduce the show. They did give a date, or not a date, but a range, a spring 2019. Seems to be a popular time frame to plug games.
Look, all I know is that as things were blowing up, he kept saying, oh, hell yeah. And I am, yes. My response to that every time will be, hell yeah, brother.
It was awesome. It was awesome. You know what else was awesome?
Doom Eternal looked awesome. Doom
Eternal.
Literally hell on earth.
Well, there wasn't much other than like a teaser reel.
It still looked cool.
It was like where it panned and it had like the demon bodies and skulls, and then you see the Doom Slayers step on the skull. He pulls out the super shotgun and loads it up and aims it, and it's like, oh, Doom Eternal. Super awesome.
Nah, you don't mess with the Doom Slayer. That's all I'm saying. I can't wait to hear the soundtrack for this game.
Oh, the first one, I think we talked about it in our Game of the Year conferences talks that year.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah,
and I'm super excited. I want to know more. The guys, the developers for the game did come out and say that we're going to see more and know more about Quake or about Doom Eternal at QuakeCon.
Yeah. I mean, not surprised.
Yeah. So, but it was cool to see and know that there is a sequel coming for that game. That was a very great game in 2016. If you haven't played it, I mean, even right now, I think it's on Steam sale for $15. You could pick it up on any console for about $15. Check that game out. You don't want to sleep on that. That's Murder-late
everything.
What I'd probably say campaign-wise is about 12 hours.
Okay.
Very, very easy to go through.
So. Yeah, but, you know, it's not Diablo.
It isn't Diablo. No, it's not. We're on a Diablo kick right now.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That's true. Then we get Prey.
Yeah. Talk about it a little bit.
Dude, all right. So the first Prey didn't really kind of pull me in at all, or the Prey reboot they did.
There was a first Prey, and that was the Native American getting on the alien ship and shooting people.
Hey, man, that'd be kind of cool, too.
That's kind of what I wanted secretly deep down. If, like, return to that, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, just, you know, hey, man, we got a Native American. He's fully empowered, and he's myrtillating aliens. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. No, but this is actually kind of interesting. They got this infinitely replayable mode called Moon Crash, and that's actually kind of cool. I also like the idea they have a multiplayer mode where people can hide as mimics.
It's almost like, what's that game? The 5v1 game where you're the monster hunters?
Yeah. Except
Evolve. It was called Evolve?
Well, yeah, but
instead, in this point, you're the human.
It's the flip.
And the five people are the mimics, and you're trying to kill them before the mimics get you.
And instead of a game being made out of one mode, it's a game that's taking that idea and making it a mode.
Funny how that works, and it seems to be successful.
Yeah, because you know you already have a profitable game that you can build on top of.
Exactly.
Hint, hint.
No, it's really cool. Moon Crash is pretty cool. You'll be in a new zone where you're kind of in this simulated environment on the moon, trying to get out. All that was free? Or some of it was free?
No, it was paid.
I know the
Moon Crash was paid.
Yeah, they added
free is New Game Plus and a survival mode.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. The Moon Crash is the DLC. But it, I mean, all that stuff was released day and day that evening, so that was cool.
Yeah.
That was their kind of like available now drop that they had in there. Also, I'm actually intending to pick it up as well, but Prey is available for $14.99 on Steam sale and for a couple other games.
How much?
$15. So it's definitely worth me checking out. I'm interested in it. I don't know if I'll jump in a lot into it, but it's something I think worth picking up.
Yeah.
Right. Next up on the list, Wolfenstein Youngblood. Played Wolfenstein 2 The New Colossus, was a big fan of the game. I talked about it last year in the Game of the Year stuff, but it's really cool to see. Basically, this is it looks like DLC set in the 80s, and you actually get, it's a co-op game because you'll actually play as...
you can do solo or co-op.
Yeah, you'll play as BJ's twin daughters going through and, you know, killing Nazis. I don't know what else to tell you.
I mean, look, I think everybody can approve of murderating Nazis,
mm-hmm.
except maybe Nazis. And then I don't care about your opinion.
But it's really good to see Wolfenstein continue on. I'm sure they're setting this up. I'm sure we'll get a Wolfenstein 3 at some point in the next couple of years. So.
Yeah, more than likely.
I'm excited. And then...
You know what's got me excited?
What?
Fallout 76.
Please talk about it, because... Everybody knows my feelings on Fallout.
Take all the cool stuff from Fallout 4 and then just Frankenstein that together with a little bit of Skyrim and a little bit of Destiny.
Okay.
And you get Fallout 76.
Yeah, I mean, the Kotaku article stuff that they broke down basically was right on the money.
Yeah. Surprise, Jason Schreier broke news early and was correct.
Mm.
I'm so shocked. Colored me shocked.
They gave a huge deep dive into Fallout 76
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the features. What were kind of some of your favorites?
Honestly, it's more the fact that I can enjoy the wasteland with other people, and then we can try to take over different points for nuclear control.
Oh, that was cool.
Against other people.
I'm not gonna lie, that was pretty cool to see.
I find that kind of interesting.
Four times the size. Fallout 4?
As if Fallout 4 wasn't big enough.
Jeez. Yeah, from the little bit I've played, like, this is huge, and it's going to be four times the size of this? Oh, holy crap.
You better get out the walking shoes, man.
Also, right?
And it's West Virginia.
Oh, don't start. I see that song's already popping in my head.
Good. And
John Denver.
Hey, man, you know what? I guess he did his job then.
Are we gonna walk down some country roads here?
They may take you home.
Get out of here.
Hey,
get out of here.
If Fleta can be meta, then country roads can take you home.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
but no, they did their very traditional like mini trailer things.
Yeah, I enjoy the aesthetic they're going for, though. It's still post-apocalyptic, but it's before all the other Fallout stuff, so there's actually color.
Yes, a lot of people were really happy about that. You actually have colors and trees, and everything's not completely blown to hell.
Apparently, there is VATS in the game. A lot of people were upset that the VATS wasn't there in the thing. Interesting thing to note, if you're used to using VATS, VATS will not stop everyone else.
Oh, interesting.
Time's going to keep moving. It's just an aim assist mode.
Okay.
At least from what everyone has seen.
I'd be curious to see how that actually works.
Yeah.
Because that... Yeah, I don't want to see that in gameplay because that, people don't know the gameplay they showed. It looked very first person-y.
Now, to be fair, though, you could play Fallout 4 very first person-y if you wanted to.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's how I played it.
In an online setting, if everybody else is killing it and you're taking your time trying to line up shots and whatnot, if that really is going to equate to the best experience...
Well, because I've played first-person shooters before, I never really used VATS. I was always like, yeah, pop, pop.
Okay. I mean, if people jumping in here are that have played first-person shooters, they're going to be fine with it, but it's going to be the hardcore Fallout fans that really were upset. Oh, I love VATS, and I love the RPG mechanics of it. You're taking it away and trying to go this route. And
look, man, at some point a game has to evolve, or it's just another release of the same thing and it stagnates and dies.
That's true. I almost kind of feel like that's how some people felt about Fallout 4. Like it was still awesome. It was a new Fallout game, but it was like, it still feels kind of the same stuff from 3 and New Vegas.
Look, man, you're not going to be able to make everyone happy, so go for the largest chunk you can and modernize the game.
That's true. But this is a great... This, for Fallout fans, they did talk about they're going to be supporting this for, quote, years to come. So this is a great kind of game to keep Fallout fans happy, probably because... Let's be honest, after we talk about some of the other announcements that got discussed, probably not going to see a Fallout game for a while.
An excessively long time.
Yeah. So I think that maybe that's the reason for releasing 76.
Hopefully. Yeah. But all I'm saying is, after 76, we got that Elder Scrolls Blades.
What did you think about Elder Scrolls Blades? Kind of cool little mobile game?
It's not just a mobile game.
It's a VR game.
It's also a PC game. It's also a console game.
That's true.
And you can sign in anywhere and keep going.
That was pretty cool. Kind of where it's cross-play across everything.
Yeah, and you just take your game save across each platform. So I kind of like the idea. I like the idea that they have it so you can play the game vertically on your phone. So if you're in a meeting. They called it meeting mode.
Yeah. Todd is crazy.
Look, man, you know what? Keep it up, Todd. Don't stop. Can't stop, won't stop.
But no, they kept touting console quality graphics on the phones. I mean, phones are powerful enough that we're already getting that if you know how to code on the mobile device, right? But no, it was a kind of, we thought it was going to be, this was going to be their like available now announcement. I think you can sign up for the beta and then it's going to release sometime this fall.
Yeah, you can already pre-order the app that's free just so you'll get notified when it comes out on iOS.
Okay, that's weird.
It's a free app. Let me go ahead and pre-order that.
So that's weird. Just give me the alarm button to let me know when it's available. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, well, they treat it as a pre-order. That's an Apple thing. That's not a Bethesda thing.
Yeah.
Because they did it for Dragon Ball Legends as well, which is a free game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then after this, we got to something that Bethesda really never does, and they talk about the future.
I want to go ahead and just say, I called it like as they're starting to like just kind of, oh, it's this.
You did say and call it. It's Starfield.
Yep.
Which is a new IP from Bethesda. I think this is their first new IP in like 17 something years. It's been a super long time.
Yeah, it's essentially take the idea of Elder Scrolls and Fallout, and what if you do that in space?
In space.
Well, because, you know, Elder Scrolls has always been the, you know, high fantasy.
Yep.
And then Fallout has always been the, you know, post-apocalyptic.
Yep.
Now we get sci-fi.
I get your sci-fi one. And so, with Starfield, I mean, all they really showed was the Earth and then the title screen. They showed literally nothing about this game.
It's essentially what Nintendo did last year with the Metroid Prime 4 logo.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
It's just much fancier.
And they said that's their next project they're working on. Do you think this could mean they're expanding their team to make sure... Now they'll have three teams. And so you have, in Bethesda Game Studios, you have one team working on Fallout, one team on Starfield, and one team on Elder Scrolls?
They better have, or they're going to have a lot of very upset fans.
That's going to be like these huge gaps between games, because they definitely take their time on these main titles here.
I mean, but to be fair, they take their time. Now, if only when they released, they were, you know, not... ginormously buggy.
And if you thought they didn't show enough of Starfield, they went even further beyond by showing just a little bit less from the last game they kind of closed everything out on. Basically, as Todd put it, this is the game you all keep asking about. And they showed a quick little...
It's literally the mountainside and the ocean.
And then a title screen for The Elder Scrolls 6.
Yeah. So, in Tamriel, do you have an idea where you think this will be?
I have no idea. I don't know anything about Elder Scrolls.
I think this is the southernmost point.
The south?
Yeah.
It does look very summery.
There's one other thing they announced that we didn't talk about.
What?
The Skyrim, very special edition, where you can now play Skyrim on your Alexa, and I'm not joking.
Oh, that was great.
I love how they just rolled into this as a big joke.
Yes. And then it's like, no, it's actually real.
They didn't say it was actually real. They just, had the little demo. They had a dude playing it on his fridge. And yep. They had on the Alexa. And then they moved on. And they were just laughing, tongue in cheek. And then someone searched and like, no, it's real. You can add it to your Alexa.
It was awesome. It was pretty funny to see that and kind of have that pop up. But no, I mean, Elder Scrolls 6, they talked about it that it's going to be after Starfield. So this is basically a game years away. Probably not until, I would say, 2022.
It's going to be a while. It's probably 3-4 year wait.
You think they announced it just to kind of shut people up and tell them, look, we're working on it. Shut up.
I think they announced it because the backlash they would have gotten about Blades.
If that had been the only thing they announced for Elder Scrolls? Really?
I think they would have gotten a lot of negative blowback.
Good point.
So, we're coming out with this. But we're still working on this.
Yeah. Okay. That kind of makes sense when you say it like that.
Yeah. Dude, have you seen the way freaking BioWare fans reacted?
To Anthem? Oh, man.
They probably saw that and were like, oh, we don't want that. What can we do?
Some people got to get over themselves. Ugh.
No kidding. But.
But that was the end of the conference. A few other things that were announced that were kind of quick pops here. The Elder Scrolls Legends card game is getting a visual overhaul and will be out later this year on Switch, Xbox One, and PS4. The Elder Scrolls Online's next DLC is a dungeon DLC called Wolf Hunter. Basically werewolves. Quake's Champions got a new trailer. They're making new Prey and Wolfenstein VR games. The Cyber Pilot was the Wolfenstein one. The Fallout Shelter is on PS4 and Switch.
Yeah, I downloaded it on Switch.
I did. I got it on Switch as well.
I can play this while waiting on Diablo.
But all in all, that was the Bethesda E3 2018 conference. So now that we're at the end of this particular conference discussion, Will, what did you think about Bethesda conference? So for everybody who hasn't followed us yet, basically we are rating each of the conferences on our 1-5 scale. 5 being God tier. Down from that, you go great, good, meh, or dumpster fire. What are you rating the conference and why, Will?
If Andrew WK had not been on stage, it would have been God tier.
Oh, really?
I think that cringe moment pulled from what should have been a rage sizzle reel going into a gameplay.
I agree.
So if they had had his song, Matt, like with a proper studio master and everything, because he's a cool dude, man. He has an awesome stage presence. It doesn't sound great live. Okay. Especially over a stream, because I don't know what the acoustics of where they were at was like or any of that.
Yeah, and they're in this huge stadium.
Yeah, so it's real weird as it was. So that's why I'm saying, great, if you had pulled him and you'd done a crazy sizzle reel with all the kind of shit you could drive and all that going on in Rage 2, it would have been God tier.
Okay.
Look, we got a new Doom. We got more Elder Scrolls. We got more Fallout. We got a new Rage. Let's go.
Done, done, done. Okay, so what are you, great?
It's great.
Great for you? Okay. Man, I'm going to tell you, the Cameron seal, best I can do is a good. I got to give it a good. And here's the reason why. I have not shied away from telling people on the mic and here, and you know it too, that I'm not a huge Fallout fan or Elder Scrolls fan. It's very hard for me to get into those games. They gave me Doom Eternal, which is what I wanted. Even just the tease,
I showed up, and it's like, all right, cool, I got Doom.
Done. I can leave happy now. But I will definitely say I was very pleasantly surprised with Rage 2.
Yeah.
And kind of bringing that game, like, stylistically, I think they learned a lot from Doom and what was successful with that. And they're kind of bringing it into a quote-unquote new IP. The Prey DLC, I'm definitely going to pick up Prey on the Steam Summer Sale. So I'm excited to kind of... I played a little bit of it. I want to kind of sit down, especially... I played it on console. I want to play on my PC and kind of give it a little bit of time and see if it is something I'm interested in. Because I have Dishonored 2.
Make sure you cut the lights off and you put on the headphones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, believe me. Like, what? I thought there were only two. I thought there was one mug here. There's now two. Ah! Not a minute. But it was... It was really, really cool to kind of see them continue to support Prey. I know Prey isn't like a huge hit like Elder Scrolls or whatnot, but it is a very polished game. That's what Bethesda does, released for most of their studios. game studios. But it was really cool to kind of see Prey in there and kind of see them get the TLC that they, I think they deserve. Because, I mean, Dishonored 2, again, I never played the first one. Everybody told me to play the first Dishonored. I got Dishonored 2. It looks very cool. I haven't played through all of it yet, you know, backlog and whatnot. But it was still really cool to see.
The backlog is real.
Backlog, you ain't kidding. Backlog is very, very real. But other than that, I mean, Fallout 76 was cool. It all looked for me, but was Fallout 4, but online. And then they announced two games that aren't even in our stratosphere for at least a minimum of 2 years. For Starfield, I would put money down. 2020 fall, if that.
If it's 2020 fall, it gets delayed to spring of 2021.
Yeah, that's my comment
now,
on that.
Now, to be fair, though, they've supposedly been working on Starfield for over 6 years.
Okay, so it might maybe get sooner than we thought.
Maybe.
That still concerns me even further, because if they were working on it 6 years and all we got was what we got.
Well, you got to remember, though, they only had two teams. So you pull a couple people and they start working on concepts and ideas. And so you could have a small team working on that. So, I mean, look at Blizzard, man. How long did they work on Titan before they scrapped it?
Okay, true.
I'm just saying, like, you can spend a long time working on a couple of little teams working on things on the back end to see if you get any fruit from it.
Okay.
Before you start investing a massive team into it.
Yeah. But, yeah, all in all, I'd give the conference a good. Really solid. Andrew WK stuff. Maybe overstayed his welcome on stage just a little too long.
I mean, he's a cool dude, man. I enjoy his tunes, but dude.
But
you gotta know when to pull that plug.
But other than that, very solid conference. Good job. Good showing by Bethesda.
Yeah, I would definitely agree.
So, all right, guys. Well, that is it for this part three of the multi-part series here for our E3 2018 post-show conference discussion stuff. We'll be jumping in. I think next is Square Enix.
Yes.
Be excited for that one. It's going to be a fun show we're going to talk about there, guys. But until then, guys, we'll see you on this next episode. Hang tight.